Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, you beautiful bastards. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. It's Friday the 19th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Addy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Well, well, bloody well, gentlemen. It's Friday. Come on! And in front of all of us, ladies and gentlemen, is a big, plump, juicy weekend fixture list full of Premier League action. Andy Brassel, you must be excited as a kid at Christmas.
I feel good. Did you not hear the intonation on my voice?
Yeah, oh, yes.
That showed excitement, I thought.
How many more James Brown quotes are you going to get in today? That's my question. Luke,
I heard it, I always approach shows with Andy Brassel with trepidation because from his intonation, I need to know what he's feeling. And when I heard that intonation, I thought, we're going to be fine.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be absolutely fine.
We are going to be fine. We don't even have to wait till tomorrow for Premier League fixtures. We have a couple tonight. Of course, which is it's incredibly exciting. But the first
6 o'clock, get a nap in. Set the alarm for 8:15. Yeah. And you can watch Spurs Man United.
It is like the World Cup, but this time Jose Mourinho is involved.
Yeah.
But the other exciting news: in a couple of weeks' time, starting on the 30th of June, there's going to be some drive-in Premier League viewing events. It's going to be like Richard Masters and Back to the Future come together. I think sort of 1950s America when I think of drive-in.
Yeah, I like drive-ins as a concept. I never want to ever win away.
Yeah, I've never even seen one, I don't think.
Boy. It's quite interesting because if you drive past a drive-in cinema in the US, and there's nothing happening.
Yeah.
It's just a field.
Yeah.
Really? You can't really see much. It's like it kind of just emerges when it happens, I think. So yeah. It's never really been a thing here, though, has it?
Well, no, probably because of the weather.
Yeah. Well, you're in a car.
I'm open top car.
You've got your open. Bells, he's always got the top down.
I don't have an open top car, ladies and gentlemen.
Got his Wayfarers on.
But do look out for the fundraiser. Speaking of which, though, it's going to cost £10 per car, Andy, with the commentary being pumped into each vehicle. That's not through like a big pipe. That's obviously the stereo system.
No, I'm presuming the inspiration for this is from Danish football. Midtjylland, of course. We talked about it on the continent a while back, didn't we? The fact that they had drive-in football.
Mm-hmm.
Drive-in football when you're tantalisingly close to the actual football. This will be slightly different, of course.
Yeah, I tell you something. Marcus Rashford's obviously been a brilliant human being. But
yes,
we really know Midtjylland because he scored against them.
Yeah, he did.
So
he
sort of, in a way, put them on the map, didn't he?
You're welcome.
So what can't he do?
Matthew Benham is shaking his finger at his listening device.
He's got to be socially distanced, so he can't beat me up.
Where's this drive-in football happening?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Luke Moore. It seems to be London and Manchester are the two.
But they're not near the stadiums or anything. They're just separate events.
I should hope not. Yeah.
Different to Midtjylland. Because Midtjylland was a weird situation because it felt a bit like what they should do is just remove the size of the stadium.
Yeah.
So you can just park cars around the pitch and everyone can watch.
That's right.
Yeah, but they obviously didn't do that. You couldn't actually see it, but apart from on a screen. But this is a separate away from the stadium type thing.
Yeah. Well, apparently each event will have its own halftime analysis and entertainment surprises. So, blimey, Pete Donaldson leaps to mind there.
Yeah.
DJ Spoonie will host the first drive-in on the 30th of June in Manchester.
Still find him.
Yeah, oh, yes. And Old Spoon will be hosting the one in London on the 1st of July.
Has he changed his name to Old Spoon now? like when Snoop Doggy Dog went to Snoop Dogg.
Is that right?
Or is that just your affectionate term
for him? Maybe. Mate, yeah. Brassel, you're a Spoonie man.
Yeah, I certainly am.
Of course you are. Yeah, South London sausage.
Yeah.
Well, three people per car, and you can order refreshments, which will be brought to your car, so...
I quite like the idea of it.
It's very much getting in the spirit.
Andy, I don't know if you're the same as me, though. Instantly, I'm thinking, it's going to take me ages to get out. Because the queue of cars is going to be massive.
You're not one of those people who leaves a few minutes before the end, are you?
I'll have to with this. Excuse me. Burr, burr.
No, you can't leave it all towards
the problem is, you can't leave the game a couple of minutes early. That's the whole problem. It will be like that time when Mido was playing for Marseille. He was told he wasn't in the starting lineup, and he said, right... bollocks to this, I'm going home. And he left in his kit, found he was boxed in the car park, and then had to come back in the dressing room and go, right, well, I feel it's my duty to support the team.
It's like Pat Nevin getting subbed off to go and watch the Cocteau Twins.
Is that right?
In the 80s, yeah.
That's quality. Well, if you are one of those people who likes to live a few minutes towards the end, then turn up on a scooter and game the system.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get the sound pumped in? Give us a lend. Open the window. Wait, but one thing people should do is if they're planning on attending these events, they should get in touch on social media or whatever. Let us know what it's like.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
football
absolutely
round.
Right. Well, of course, there are fixtures this evening. Gentlemen, Norwich versus Southampton. Bottom of the league, Norwich, they desperately need a win. Now, talking of trying to view fixtures from some sort of vantage point, the Holiday Inn at Carrow Road, which, of course, has some rooms that can view the pitch, have sold out of all... They're fully booked, rather, with all these rooms that are overlooking the pitch, which does seem rather suspicious to me. You do need to be a key worker or the like to get into the hotel. So if you're one of those people who have a booking for this evening, you're going to have to produce your ID.
And also, you're going to, presumably, they're going to be able to see you looking through the window.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Mm.
Can you imagine that if you're sort of taking your significant other to... You know, we haven't been on holiday for three months.
Yeah. Well, holiday in Norwich, perfect.
Norwich is a great city.
It's a great city.
It's underrated, I think.
We went there with a lovely live show, so don't be so disrespectful, Andy.
Mm.
Did you see, actually, that Sid Lowe did a match report on Eibar versus Athletic Bilbao this week for The Guardian?
Yeah, he will
from the block of flats opposite Ipurua, the stadium, where you could see over into
is that right?
Into the ground.
People are working in creative ways now. A friend mm-hmm. of mine is a cameraman at the Premier League. And he's had to go through a lot of different protocol because he's working, I think, tonight for the first one of the games tonight.
Right.
And he said he's got to do like a load of testing. Obviously, he's got to do fill out a couple of questionnaires. They've been told there are three colour-coded working zones where they're not allowed to move out of. Obviously, the post-match interviews are being done outside, as we've already seen on Wednesday night. And you get a questionnaire which drops into your inbox at 1 minute past midnight of the day.
Right.
And you've got to fill it in and answer the questions honestly and accurately, and and send it off. And if you don't pass it, you can't work.
Oh.
And so he's got to...
Like what? Are you up for this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You led your allegiance to the Premier League.
Can you work? Can you work the camera? But then you also... And then what happens is once you do that, you get a certificate, which you then have to print out, and you carry it with you, and people will check. And if you've not got it, you shouldn't be working there. There's a load of different things that have gone into how they logistically deliver a game to people who want to watch it on TV. Of course, we've heard talk on news reports about there's going to be like what 250 or 300 people at each game, all doing different things, and that's basically why. There's also a different situation around food, of course. I think people have to bring their own food. It has to be packaged to buy. Because if you're a cameraman and you're working to...
Moose isn't going
to
be happy, is he?
No, he won't. Moose will be fuming. But if you have to, if you're a cameraman, obviously you have to rig the cameras, you have to do the game, and you have to de-rig, and it's a long day. But there's no food available there, so you have to bring your own food and that kind of stuff. All sorts of things to worry about.
Well, absolutely. But with regards to the football itself, Andy, a recent revelation at Southampton has been the work Ralf Hasenhüttl's been doing with his contract extension. We talked about this a number of weeks ago on this very podcast. But he's made one big decision recently where Pierre-Emile Højbjerg has been stripped of the captaincy because, as Hasenhüttl said himself, that if he wouldn't sign an extension, then he wouldn't remain captain. Now, you recently interviewed old Pierre, and are you gutted for your new friend?
Yeah, I do feel a bit sorry for him, actually, because if you've listened to that Ramble Meets, and he's a fascinating character, really, really interesting, incredibly mature for 24. It meant a lot to him to be Southampton captain, and he was very keen to talk about what the club had done for him. And he's someone who, he didn't just go in the dressing room and put the armband on. Mm. He was someone who thought it was his job to motivate people at every level of the club. So it wasn't just I'm first team captain. He thought we need to get on the same page, whether we're in the under 10s or the under 15s or the youth team or the reserves or whatever. I think that's really his thinking from when he was at Bayern and he was a young player, and you know, he's relatively empowered to go head to head, as he talked about in the interview with me, with the likes of Thomas Müller. And
it's mad,
and
isn't it,
like
when
that.
You hear him speaking about
think
that.
About it. I thought that when I heard it.
And he's only 24. In that interview, he does come across as if he's an elder statesman of the game almost.
Yeah, he does. He does. And I suspect Southampton fans, I mean, maybe Luke can tell me, but a little bit split on this, because I think that despite the fact that some feel that, you know, he will eventually go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. He's a popular player. Yeah. You know, and people like him as a guy. People respond to him as a guy. He's open and honest, and he is a committed captain. It is about more to him than just saying, I'm the captain. Because I
can speak on behalf of some of the fans and say that they want him to leave as soon as possible. So just to clear that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But don't you, a captaincy is a funny thing in football, isn't it? It's far less definable than, say in cricket, where you are you're just the on pitch coach, really, aren't you?
Oh,
you
know, and you're involved in selection. You're involved in selection.
You're involved in selection. Yeah. You choose which bowler bowls when, and all that.
Well,
sort
do you remember
stuff?
John Terry's Chelsea captain? I mean, he's a leader, which is especially if you're a club who are looking over the shoulder, relegation and all, you need players like that. But the captaincy has been handed to James Ward-Prowse. My only question is, do you have to have a double-barreled name to be the captain?
Sounds like you might need.
It's not do you need a double-barreled name, do you need a three-letter acronym?
Yeah.
That's the real question, Marcus.
That is
so
the
what
real
is
question.
He's Pierre. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, he's Pierre.
Yeah.
It's his acronym. It's not going to catch on, is it?
JWP sounds a bit...
Sounds a bit like an accountancy firm. But you know, on the and I think I mentioned this briefly on the show on Wednesday, that you know, arguably Newcastle and or Southampton could be dragged into this if they don't manage the situation well. We saw in Germany, and as we said, Schalke have dropped like a stone since the game's come back there.
Yeah.
There's different reasons for that, of course. But in this situation, if you look at Southampton's record going into the break, I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful by saying it in this way. Mm-hmm. I mean this in the football context. Yeah. It came at a nice time for them because their form mm-hmm. was bad. They'd only won one of their last five. They were losing games. Mm-hmm. They lost against Southampton. They lost at home to Newcastle United, which is a key game for them. So
they ended losing to Newcastle, yeah. But yeah. You don't have to have your sort of fist clenched in the air as you say that, Luke, though, do you?
What, about Southampton being rubbish?
Yeah.
Well, just enjoy it while you can.
At least put your shirt back on.
Indeed. Well, for Norwich's sake, I mean, they've been not doing very well. Hopefully, they'll be up on the topics tonight,
big time. And I do hope we hear Daniel Farke use the word topics. Yeah. I think it will make me feel a lot better.
I'd like to hear him say pandemic.
Yeah. You'd like to hear him say anything.
I suppose so. Yeah.
But every time we talked this season about Norwich, we would get a lot of fans getting in touch saying, Norwich aren't, our team aren't that bad. We've just been really unlucky.
Tell it to the results, lads.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they're bottom of the table.
Yeah.
And perhaps there's a situation where they can't quite put 90 minutes together consistently enough. But they, I completely admit they've shown bits in parts and they've got some good players. Mm-hmm. The form is kind of irrelevant at this stage. I don't think it was mentioned yesterday, but one thing I read is that I think it was Raheem Sterling was saying that if you're an international player in a summer like we would have just had, you're going to have a 3 week break between seasons. Mm-hmm. If you're a non-international player, it's probably 5.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. These guys have had 3 months.
Yeah,
it's a big change. Yeah, so it's very, very difficult to see how they're going to react to it. And we did see, I think, a little bit of fatigue in the Sheffield United Villa game. In terms of not fatigue, but you know, not non-match fitness, but in the Man City game, they looked great. So it's very difficult to see.
How I think we always take the Bundesliga as a starting point now because it's the sort of guinea pig league for all of this. And that, I think the rest of the leagues all over Europe have looked at it and seen what they can take from it. But I think what we've seen from both the Bundesliga and La Liga, we're living. We said this with Jules and Jim yesterday. That I think we're living in the age of the elite athlete, where you know they've got such an incredible base level of fitness that they can get back to maybe not to 100%, but 85-90% pretty quickly. And I would
it's that
be
match
surprised.
Sharpness, though, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Can't replicate that really.
Sure, but I think on the whole, like the standard in Manchester City Arsenal was pretty good. I thought City were really impressive.
You said that with every player on the pitch? I
was gutted to not be doing the David Luiz show yesterday.
Is that the official name of it? The David Luiz show.
I really felt for
Marcus, you're for the same here. I took a lot of solace in the fact that I'll probably get another chance.
according to Jamie Carragher, no.
No, is that, it's done now, is it?
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear me.
Over a Magnum.
Well, let's move a bit further up the table. Spurs versus Manchester United. Mourinho against his former side. I love saying that, Mourinho against his former side, because I mean he's a little bit prickly at the best of times, but he certainly will be against the team where he won the treble. Dele Alli, of course, will serve a one-match ban for this. Must sit out, of course, much to Mourinho's disappointment. Eric Dier's available because the FA haven't given him his punishment yet for going into.
They've forgotten
crowd.
About that.
I had.
Yeah.
I completely.
They've forgotten about it. Loads of stuff to deal with.
I know. Yeah. I think you were saying that on Wednesday with Kate and Pete that like. Let's have a recap of stuff that's happened. And it was like Eric Dier. Well, I mean, didn't he? That was a similar time when Cantona went in the. Oh, no, like it was this season that Dier went in. But he's available.
This is the game of the weekend for me. I'm excited about this game. And you know, it's a fascinating situation at Spurs where the season was drifting away from them, like for a combination of injuries and fatigue and this end of a cycle type situation they're in. But this is a real chance for them to restore themselves. Like Kane, Mourinho's already said that Kane, Son and Sissoko are going to play. So they should have a much better balance. They're 4 points off fifth, which we know could be Champions League this season. Probably will be, will it?
Yeah, I think it's more likely than not as things stand at the moment. Obviously, we don't know how Manchester City will end up. But personally, it wouldn't surprise me if there was some sort of almost, not really a compromise, but a halfway house where maybe their ban got cut to a year.
I thought you were going to say a halfway house. It's called the Europa League.
So we are willing to cut a compromise.
Conference League.
Yeah. Do the words inter toto mean anything to you? but I was just going to say, it's tough for Spurs because there are a lot of teams above them and it's a competitive area. The table, as we know. But I think this will be a really revealing period for Mourinho. and whether his quite combative, high risk management style off the pitch, where he's like I say, quite combative, can that still work? For me, that's a real question mark over Mourinho. But reports have suggested, like reports coming out of Spurs, saying that the atmosphere's been great, it's improved a great deal, and people are really happy and they're looking forward to it.
They've got North Korea's PR going.
It was the break they needed. But I watched two or three of Spurs games live under Mourinho, and the one particular, for me anyway, against Leipzig at home in the Champions League, it was. I know their problems injury wise. It was turgid stuff. It looked like he was trying to. It was like he was in a knife fight with a sausage. Like he had no tool. He just didn't know what to do. And I think they just seemed terrified. And it was this out ball to Lucas Moura, and he wouldn't win that out ball because he's tiny. And Lucas Moura
out ball. That's such a polite way of playing it. I love the way that Toby Alderweireld became their playmaker.
Yeah,
under Mourinho, it was amazing. That's the amount of touches he was having in a game.
What's he going to do now? What do you think Mourinho will do against Man United tonight? It's a fascinating question.
I think it's the start of something fascinating as well, Luke, because you talked about, you know, this being a key little period for him. Well, it's going to be more than a key little period, because unless he quits, they're going to be stuck with him for quite a while now. Because post-pandemic, how can they afford to sack him? How can they afford to sack him and the new coaching staff that they've got on board?
Has Levy got a clause in there?
What, to fire
with
him?
Mourinho?
I don't think so.
Has Levy got a clause?
He loves having a... the reason that's a fascinating appointment in the first place is because the way that Mourinho and Levy traditionally have done football, for want of a better phrase, is polar opposite.
Yes.
So one of them's got to give. Mm. And I wondered whether, through expedience, he's gone after Mourinho because he spent a lot of time building Spurs to the type of club, the size of club, that could hire a Jose Mourinho. But at the same time, has he just done it because he could rather than whether he should?
And is he a few years late?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a definite question. And we spoke about at the time whether getting new coaching brains in rather than getting the band back together was something that would freshen it up, and an acknowledgement from Mourinho, almost Ancelotti style, and the closest we would get to an acknowledgement from Mourinho that, hang about, I need to have a bit of a rethink here. Now, he's had a couple of opportunities to have a little rethink, hasn't he? And he's partly embraced it by taking Sacramento and new coaches on board rather than getting Rui Faria and all those back together. But also, he's had this time off. Now, he's been having a few strolls around the park, thinking about it, hasn't he? And working out what he's going to do. You're right, he has been offered a lifeline by the fact that Spurs were in a poor situation where they weren't going to make the Champions League, where the squad had run aground. But now those excuses, which, oh my God, he lined up with both hands, didn't he, before the break.
It's like he had them already ready before any games.
Yeah. They're like written on his inner arm, like a
memento.
Yeah, like a memento. Yeah, exactly.
He's like a kid turning up late to school constantly. It's kind of the bus broke down, or I woke up and it...
Dog ate my homework.
Yeah, it wasn't in my house. Or
there was a kid at my school who turned that into such a kind of thing that he would turn up to tutor group and would just say the most ridiculous thing he could think of, and everyone thought it was funny, and it kind of annoyed me because I was like, well, hang on a minute. He would say stuff like, I was kidnapped by an entire gang of squirrels.
I like that.
And everyone will go, oh, brilliant, here he is again.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, and I was thinking,
that is the kind of...
I'm supposed to be the class clown.
That is the wacky... I heard once, and younger listeners, in fact, maybe older listeners won't get this, the guy said, I missed the ketchup rocket from Button Moon. Oh, dear.
But, I mean, I think people are kind of expecting a big opinion from me on this type of stuff, and they don't wish to say, oh, this is what's happening. I do think I should probably nail my colours to the mast now, and I've said it quite consistently. As Andy said, this is a chance for Mourinho to reset and to get out of jail. But for me, I don't think he's capable of changing. And I don't think that even the appointments they've made coaching-wise, based on what I've seen, and I understand the team are at the end of a cycle and had injury problems, I don't know if he's still got it in him, and I would suggest that he probably hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, the quote he said, I'm not going to tell you how we're going to play. Well, we can guess these days. but just briefly focusing on Manchester United, I mean, Marcus Rashford, the current greatest living Englishman, I think we can all agree.
Great, yes. Certainly the greatest living markers, I would say.
Yeah, well,
come on.
Yeah, well, if he's the greatest living Englishman,
he has to be.
Yeah, yeah, to be fair, I've been outdone there.
Yeah, by yourself.
But it showed you how much it took to knock me off that top spot.
I'd still put you in a Champions League position.
Andy, as
again, for me, Inter Toto.
Oh dear, Fulham on the Intertoto one.
Yeah.
But I think oddly, maybe actually some neutrals might cheer for Manchester United because of Rashford, or maybe that I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
But it will be interesting to see what
but they've got players back as well. That's the thing. They've got Pogba's going to be back, available for selection.
I'd be raring to go. 3 months off, Pogba. That's what he needed.
Yeah, and Bruno Fernandes has been making a big deal of the fact that he wants to play with Pogba. It'll be pretty exciting.
Yes.
Because he was the one player who was really, he pulled United through that last couple of months before the
big time
the break, didn't he?
And 2 points
on that, to have a player to come in and you know, some people will be familiar with him mainly because he was in the papers for about a year before saying he's going to Manchester United, and some people will be less familiar with him, but to have a player like that who's not played in the Premier League turn up and say, right, this is my team now. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
And it was there for the taking as well, that idea of him coming in and saying, this is my team.
Exactly. But the fact that there was a vacuum for him to be able to do that is a big deal, I agree.
Yeah.
Get the sound off tonight. Get the crowd noise off, because you're going to be here, Bruno Fernandes.
Learn a
non-stop.
Bit of Portuguese. Just a swear word.
His English is brilliant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but in the heat of the moment, he might swear in the...
Is he going to break Lorenzo Insigne's record for the most amount of shouts in the game? Because during that Napoli game, all you could hear was him going, Dries! 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 Over and over again.
Sign the contract.
It was like a new Saido from Pulis.
What a lovely win for Napoli.
Yeah, great.
What a lovely win. But that's already been mentioned. But what we will say, though, tonight, Andy, just to dip our wick in foreign waters or territory, your beloved Sevilla are playing Barcelona.
My beloved Sevilla.
Correct.
It's a huge game.
I love Sevilla, Andy. I love Sevilla. I love the city. I love all of it. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I noticed Julen Lopetegui hasn't been wearing his hush puppies on the touchline in these first couple of games back. That's the big news, really, from
Too warm.
Sevilla. Yeah,
that's the big news. I thought you were the journalist among us.
Yeah. Andy,
people
can flip over and watch the last hour of this after the Spurs Man United Spurs game.
Very saucy.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got Sevilla Barcelona on Friday night, and then you've got Real Sociedad versus Real Madrid on Sunday night. My goodness, did Real Madrid look good in the second half last night against Valencia?
Yeah.
And Marco Asensio, been out for 11 months, came on as sub. Seconds later, smashes a volley into the corner.
Andy, as I always say, it's always nice to have a marker.
Oh, here we go again. You're just giving him excuses. But I think for me, Spurs Man United is the game of the weekend. I'm looking forward to that a great deal.
Do you think Mourinho will do what the Leganés coach, I forget his name, did against Barcelona?
Javier Aguirre.
Yes. Yeah. Big have when he pretended
to try to whistle.
Yeah. He's trying to put Messi off.
The thing is,
he got sent off. He got a red card for
that. But the reaction to that in Spain was Aguirre was sent off. Okay. What, not for swearing? Yeah. I mean, he's famously foul-mouthed.
There's still room for shithousery in the game, even at the very top level in 2020.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the preview show, sponsored by Betway. Now, everybody, those listening to Wednesday's show will remember we announced another of our now legendary Patreon competitions. And this time around, there was a chance to win a 65-inch Toshiba U29 TV just by signing up at patreon.com/footballrambledaily. How exciting.
It was.
You beautiful so-and-sos. Well, I'm delighted to reveal that the winner of this frankly gigantic and impressive TV is Jonathan Gibbons.
Woo!
Gibby's won it.
Good on him. Good on Gibbo.
Gibbo. Jonathan will be in touch in due course. And congratulations. 65 inches, Andy. Hey, get your eyes around that lot. Don't forget to sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/footballrambledaily for lots of extra exclusive content from as little as $5 a month. And we'll have another competition very, very soon. Mm. Very, very soon indeed.
Congratulations, Jonathan.
Well done.
Lovely
stuff.
JG.
Yeah. Let's get back to the football then. So, yes, we've got a lot of fixtures. We've got Cup tonight, as we said. We've got some on Saturday. We also have some on Sunday. Aston Villa. Clean sheet Aston Villa, as they're called, will be playing against Chelsea. And off the field, Chelsea have been doing a bit of business. Obviously, not too many clubs have been. But they've signed Timo Werner. They've got it over the line, Andy, for roughly about 53 million quid. Are you excited to see the impressive German coming to these waters, these shores?
Yeah, and I guess it's been mentioned before, but the fact that the way this signing has rolled out shows already how much the transfer market has changed because with his buyout clause, it was, you know, the dictionary definition of a no-brainer before, like 3 months ago. And it became a thing where Liverpool were like, can we really spend this amount on another striker? And that allowed Chelsea to get in. I think actually from his perspective, the fit with Chelsea is better because I think he can play anywhere across that front three. He's more needed there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm not one of these people who thinks he couldn't have got into the Liverpool team. I think that's nonsense. And at some point, as we've said before, Liverpool are going to have to move on from this gilded team. You know, you can't. Football teams are like happiness. You can't like nail them to the wall and look at them. That they have to evolve. And that bit when you've got to strengthen when you're on top, it's a difficult thing to do, but you're going to have to do it. And Liverpool are going to have to do it. You know, they're going to be worthy Premier League champions. But at some point, they're going to have to ditch some really popular players as they continue to build. It's going to be one of those things. But their loss, Chelsea's gain. And I think what is so good about him is the fact that he's not just a wide player. He's not just a forward who can stick out on the wing because he's fast. He can actually be a good wide player. Yeah. And there was a feeling in Germany for a bit at one time that he would turn into
a left winger. I mean, when Bayern were looking at him before, they didn't make the plunge for him, and that really annoyed him. Mm. There was like half a sense that, well, he could kind of, as well as backing up Lewandowski, eventually replace Frank Ribery. You know, that was a discussion. The fact that it didn't go well for him on the wing in the World Cup for Germany.
Well, it didn't go that well for anybody in the World Cup.
No. And he was...
Went well
like,
for me.
Way down...
I loved it.
It was way down the list of scapegoats.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he did get a bit of stick for it.
Yeah.
But...
I get the impression, Andy, that some people, maybe in this country, and let's be honest, they took years to be convinced from Zlatan Ibrahimovic that perhaps we shouldn't listen to those voices, but I get the impression that some people are a bit like, Timo Werner, I'm not really... I mean, his stats are very impressive because you say he's a good player,
but
he's
got
a good four player.
But you got to watch him in the flesh.
But you do.
You have to watch him because he's so, so good.
But his stats, Luke, 93 goals in 157 games.
But he started and a bit late, goal scoring wise, didn't he? He didn't score many goals at Stuttgart before he moved to Leipzig, did he?
No, I mean...
But this is for Leipzig.
And that is the leap for him, really.
But that's decent stats and 40 assists. So it shows you that he's got everything to his game.
Yeah, and I think as well, people have tried to pigeonhole him as a counter-attacker. You know, he's just quick and he does score a lot of goals like that on the break. But increasingly, Leipzig, because teams have got wise to them, have had to play against packed defences. Mm-hmm. And he can shoot from range, he can play through teams. There's all sorts of different ways that he can get out of teams. He's a very versatile player. Of course... like you said with Bruno Fernandes before, Luke, excellent English. And he's someone who, when you hear him, he seems quite softly spoken, but he's actually quite tough. I mean, you talked about that move from Stuttgart to Leipzig, and Leipzig are obviously hated by a lot of football supporters in Germany, and especially after he took a dive and successfully won a penalty against Schalke.
Yes, they don't.
He became the target of some like really quite personal abuse.
Yeah.
And he's dealt with it. He's really dealt with it.
He's still a very young man.
It's toughened him up. He's only 24, and he's had to put up with some really quite unpleasant stuff, and he's been okay.
I think, obviously Lampard likes to play a 4-3-3. Werner, to me, looks like he starts off the left of that. When I saw him play earlier this season, he was excellent. Scored the only goal of the game against Spurs in the Champions League. Played off a left behind Patrick Schick and was so busy. They just couldn't deal with him. And I know that Serge Aurier isn't having the best of time at the moment, but no one could really handle him. For me, along with Sabitzer, he was the best player on the pitch. He's a very, very exciting player. I think if you're a Chelsea fan, you haven't watched an awful lot of him, then you should be very, very excited. That's my take on it. I wonder, I was going to ask you, Andy, actually, what that means for Christian Pulisic, actually, who's played off the left for Chelsea when he's played, obviously hasn't adjusted as quickly as perhaps they would have hoped. Still a young man, obviously. Is this something that Christian Pulisic should be worried about?
No, I don't think so. I think they're very different players, and Pulisic is never going to play centrally. Werner should play centrally.
So it's more of a danger for Tammy Abraham then?
Yeah, well, there's got to be competition. If they want to go and win stuff and they want to play 60 games a season, there does have to be that competition. And, you know, just because Werner drifts left, I don't think that should make people think he's always going to be a left-sided forward. I really don't think that is the case. It does give Chelsea the ability to go amorphous because, as you say, Pulisic can play left. He played on the right quite a lot for Dortmund as well. He can play off the front player. And when Pulisic started to hit it this season, he looked really good. Mm. Really good. Of course, it took him a little while to adjust.
But they always knew
that would be the case. I think it's really interesting, the idea that I've been linked quite closely with Kai Havertz. If you throw him into the mix, then it does really become a bun fight.
Yeah. Mm. I quite like Jamie Carragher's comments on this when he said, you know, they're signing a lot of players. I mean, with these kind of players that are coming in, you know, you're not just talking about Champions League. You know, you've got to go and win the league. And it's kind of like, you know what, lads? Yeah, there's a bit of pressure on you. Are you really going to come and try and take Liverpool's assumed crown? But Kai Havertz has been late. I mean, Ben Chilwell, of course. I mean, old Brendy Rodgers. It's going to be lovely seeing Brendy again.
Yeah.
And that lovely Leicester City side. But some of these comments were suggesting that he may well be just resigned to the fact that Ben Chilwell will go. But look, they got a big price for Harry Maguire and they've managed to cover that. So it'll be interesting to see. But Kai Havertz. So did you see this? When the official Chelsea account tweeted, tweeted out some info on Timo Werner. A Twitter user called Masood replied, "Announce Havertz," which got a like from Kai Havertz's official account.
Oh, Marcus has got his tinfoil hat on.
I tell you something. And I quite like this. I have no idea who Masood is, but obviously a big passionate Chelsea fan, to which he replied to that. "He liked it just seconds after I commented. He has Chelsea notifications turned on. We're massive. We're gargantuan. He's coming home. Send this blood brother a plane ticket." So Masood is convinced that Kai Havertz is going there. Yeah. No idea.
How is your out Twitter account going? All right. You're just generating his own content now.
Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Chelsea, I mean, look, I don't want to be too boring about it, but I've been really impressed with Chelsea transfer wise recently. They've done so much good business.
Yeah. Can they penetrate Aston Villa? Because
you have to ask the good people at Goal Decision System
for
that, mate.
You have to hit the back of the net against Aston Villa.
Chris Wilder said? He said something like, "Never mind being over the line. It was halfway up the Holt end."
Yeah. Oh, man. Sensational stuff. Yeah. Oh, dear. Quickly before we go to for a score, I'll just say this, ladies and gentlemen. Everton versus Liverpool, Mike Dean's in charge.
You've got to do the Richarlison comments as well.
What was that? Go on.
The Richarlison comments about...
I'll be very honoured to be refereed by such a man.
No, Everton forward Richarlison said ahead of the game, "Everybody in England hates Liverpool."
Oh, yeah.
"Everyone is obsessed with Van Dijk, but he's not the best defender in the world.
Yeah.
Thiago Silva, Marquinhos and Sergio Ramos are all better than him."
That's not going to bite him in the arse, is it?
He'll have to speak a bit louder this time on Sunday, because he'll literally be inside Van Dijk's pocket.
I was about to say, does he know who Virgil van Dijk is?
Yeah. Listen, you never know in that Merseyside derby.
That's true.
Sighting as well.
That's very true.
Is he not just trying to butter up Thiago Silva before Ancelotti makes his move?
Yeah.
Ah, now you're talking. You are talking.
That is such a textbook move, isn't it? Thiago Silva to go to Everton now at 35 under Ancelotti.
Yeah.
And the eyebrow goes. You can't hear it.
Beautiful. Bloody beautiful.
All right, it's time for Betway's Four to Score, which we participate in each week for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Four to Score entry is free. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. And if you're correct, you can win up to a colossal £100,000 this week to celebrate the return of the Premier League. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. My game this week is Bournemouth v Crystal Palace, which is a Saturday evening game at 7:45. Marcus will be watching his beloved Roy, I expect. I've gone for Wilfred Zaha.
Yeah.
Andy, game two, you've got Newcastle versus Sheffield United Sunday afternoon.
That's right. I've channeled Pete and gone for Fabian Scher.
Nice. I love Fabian Scher.
Me too. Best finisher at the club, clearly.
Yeah, okay. Stiff competition.
All the others are being rested because they're quite literally being fattened for market. Aren't they?
Whereas he's already survived fondue, so he's fine.
Exactly.
I have a duty to the listeners of this podcast. With all this takeover talk at Newcastle now, of course, there's maybe even a rival bid happening. Glorious. Have you seen that a certain younger Swede called Sven has been talking about his admiration for Newcastle United and the city of Newcastle upon Tyne?
On manoeuvres.
Yeah!
Speaking of a Twitter notification set, Sven's got his set for any potential takeover. Yeah. He's got a Twitter search. Saudi money. Just Saudi money. Google alert.
You say that, there's no way Sven Göran Eriksson is unaware of the big market.
There's no way.
Yeah.
But there is the whole generation of football managers who have got literally Saudi money saved as a Google search. Yeah. Google alert. Bertie Votes, Sven Göran Eriksson.
Forgot about old Bertie. Yeah.
Those ones that basically a local coach from the country in Africa, whether it be Senegal or Ghana or whatever, they would qualify.
Yeah.
Or Ivory Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Get him in.
30
votes, get Sven. Anyway, so game three, Marcus. We've got Wilfred Zaha, Fabian Scher. Game three, Marcus, you have Aston Villa v Chelsea, Sunday 4:15.
Obviously, Werner's not going to be at Chelsea for another couple of weeks. You can't pick him. I wasn't too sure who he might go with up front, but I think he'll have Mason Mount in there, and I'd like to see the young man get on the score sheet.
So your selection is Mason Mount. Of course, there's four games in four to score, but there's only three of us today. So we took the time and the pleasure to speak to Jules Breach, our friend and colleague, and she gave us her first goal scorer for Everton v Liverpool Sunday night, and here's what she had to say.
Hi, lads. So who do I think is going to be the first goal scorer in the Merseyside derby? Well, I could go for Virgil van Dijk scoring from a corner. I could go for Trent scoring from a free kick, or maybe Wijnaldum for a shot from outside the box. I'd look really clever if one of those came true and happened. But instead, I'm going to be boring and I'm going to stick with the most obvious choice, Mo Salah.
So there you go. Jules' selection is Mo Salah. I mean, she named the whole Liverpool team and then just went Mo Salah. So
just edit out Mo Salah.
Got to get that runtime up somehow. So our four to score selections in order are Wilfred Zaha, Fabian Scher, Mason Mount and Mo Salah. If each of those players score first in their respective games, we'll win up to £100,000 for charity. You're welcome to play along too, but you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. That's Betway's four to score.
Lovely old job. And now, ladies and gentlemen, back by dope demand, it's Luke's game.
Yes, I'm really excited for this because I'm putting two good football brains up against each other, and that's no offence to anyone else.
I'm shitting myself.
Yeah, I bet you are. So Andy's never played this before, so I will give a quick rundown of the rules, Andy, for you and for those who've come to the show new and they haven't heard this before.
That's interesting because in the production meeting, I said, I don't know the rules of this game, and Marcus went, let's keep it that way.
He did, to be fair, he did. But I'll give Marcus respect because I offered an edition of Luke's game on the WhatsApp yesterday. I said, you'll be up against Andy. And Mark said, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I misunderstood the question.
Yeah. So the way it works is I give you a player.
Yes.
And you have to take turns to bid on how many of his clubs you can name.
Okay.
And if for example, it will become clear when we play, but if you go four and Marcus goes five and you can't name six, you go, all right, Marcus, you name five. And if he names them all correctly, he gets a point.
Right.
If he gets any of them wrong, you get the point.
Okay.
And it's a best of five. And it'll become very clear when we start. It's a difficult game to explain. It's not a difficult one to play. Mm. Play along at home as well. And we are going to start with Andy because he's never played before,
yeah,
Marcus.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, Andy, the first player we're going to mention today
is Ali McCoy.
Yeah. Is Riyad Mahrez.
Oh, blimey.
He's played for four clubs in total. It only counts.
Look at the dead eyes.
I know, look at
him. I am toast.
Yeah.
I am, however, counting on my fingers, listeners.
Yeah.
Where's Jim when you need him?
If he's played for one club more than once, it just counts as one.
Yeah.
Okay. How many of Riyad Mahrez's four clubs can you name?
All four.
I've never seen Spurs so upset.
I'll go five.
They're up five. Now, go ahead and name them.
Sarcel. Love, Manchester City, Leicester.
Yeah, well. Go on, he's got one wrong. Go on.
Is that how you say the first one?
No, it's not.
Yes!
A point to Marcus, I'm afraid. Compare is the first club, not Sarcel.
Of course it is, you mug.
Saves you a job because you were just named all the menu.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's 1 point to Marcus.
I'd have said Algeria.
1 point to Marcus. All
right. Gosh, this game is brutal.
One nil.
You've gone in both feet there.
1-0 to the spare.
I should also say, actually, that if they've played for the second team of the club, which obviously happens a lot in Europe, it doesn't count as more than one.
Okay.
What if it's Real Madrid B or Barcelona B?
No.
Fine.
You're going to go first this time, Marcus. Yep. 1-0 to you.
Uh-huh. Palomardini.
Your player is... Yeah. Jamie Carragher. No. he's played for six clubs in total. It's Lee Bowyer.
Oh, Gordon.
Lee Bowyer.
Old Lee. That is... Yes, played, not managed.
Played.
Obviously, yeah.
You know the rules, Mark. You've played 100 times.
And, you know, I'm stalling.
Andy's working away there. You know that gif of, I think it's Nick Offerman, doing all those mathematical kind of things in the air?
Yeah.
That's like Andy at the moment.
I know, and it's really, really putting me off.
Six clubs in total.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. That is shocking. I've only got three.
Andy, can you go four? Can I hear four from you?
Yeah, I can go four.
Can you do five, Marcus?
I'm going to have to.
You're going to go five? You've been in five.
I'm going to have to.
Are you going to go all six, Andy?
Of course he is.
No, I can't go six.
Oh, what have I done?
So you've got to name five, Marcus. Okay, right. One at a time, please.
Charlton.
Correct.
Leeds.
Correct.
Newcastle.
Correct.
This is where it gets a little bit tricky. English clubs, aren't they?
Three so far.
I'm really struggling here. Bolton?
That's incorrect, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So you lose the point. It's a point to Andy. His career is as follows: Charlton, then Leeds United, then West Ham.
Oh, bloody West Ham.
Then Newcastle, then back to West Ham, just to rub it in.
Yeah.
Birmingham, and then Ipswich Town is where he ended his career.
Ipswich was the one I didn't have.
That's one each.
West Ham, I should have got West Ham. That was very poor.
Andy, you're up next.
Bolton is the ultimate get out in this game. Yeah,
I knew there was a B.
Probably played for Bolton.
Thank you,
under Big Sam. Under Big Sam. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Andy, you're up next. He's played for four clubs again in total. Are you going to throw yourself in two-footed like you did last time? Or are you going to be a bit more ponderous? Four clubs in total. Robert Lewandowski.
Ooh. Why do you give ones where you know I've no idea?
It's a random selection. It's a random selection.
I can't go above three.
Yeah, neither can I, mate.
So you want four? Just for people listening.
How confident are you with the three?
I'm very confident.
Yeah, well, I've got to go four then, haven't I?
Just for people listening.
Even if I wasn't really confident, I understand part of the game is that I have to appear really
exactly.
confident.
Just to give people a picture of listening, yeah. I've rarely seen Marcus more upset than this. So Andy's going three. You're going to go four?
No, because it's suicidal. Andy messed up with Mahrez, so let's go for that.
Three, please, Andy.
I mean, he can't say Blackburn Rovers, can he? Because of the ash cloud, it never happened.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Exactly. So Lech Poznan, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's 2-1 to Andy. The other club he played for was Zenit Pruszków. Zenik Pruszków, I think that's pronounced. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, I've always thought we don't feature them on the Rambler.
No, we don't. It's the first time I've heard a mention, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 2-1 to Andy. Mm-hmm. Marcus, you have the next one to go first. He's played for nine clubs in total.
Oh,
it's a bit of fun. You're under pressure because of who's sitting opposite you.
Nine clubs.
Zlatan.
Oh, blimey. Big Ibra. Yeah.
How many of Zlatan's nine clubs can you name? And for those of you listening at home, have a go at it yourself.
I feel good, everyone. Marcus is counting with his fingers now.
I can do all nine.
You go, is that your bid?
Yeah.
All right, Andy, you've got no play here. You can't do anything about this.
Yeah.
Marcus has to name all nine. If he doesn't name any, name them, or he gets one wrong, you win the point anyway, and that'll be an unassailable lead. So the stakes couldn't be higher.
Yeah.
One at a time, Marcus. All nine clubs that Zlatan's played for.
I'll try and do them in order.
Just to clarify, Luke, has he moved again this week?
Malmo.
Correct.
Yes. Ajax.
Yeah.
Juventus.
Yeah.
Inter.
Yeah.
Well, I stay in Milan.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
PSG.
Yeah.
Manchester United.
Yeah.
LA Galaxy.
That is very good.
Very good.
Come on. I was under a bit of pressure there.
Well played. It's 2-2. Last player. Come down to the final one. Tense. More tense than something else you can remember, you can name. Andy, you're first. He's played for eight clubs in total. Marcus is going to be annoyed at this, but I do think this is going to test you, right? Franck Ribéry.
Yeah, that has annoyed me.
You want me to name Sean Gregan or something? Oh, yeah. Sean St. Ledger. Yeah.
Where are the 90s Scottish footballers? Yeah.
Franck Ribéry, eight clubs.
Right, okay.
Hang on, how many...
What are you bidding?
I'm finger counting.
Okay.
So give me a second.
All right.
You should chat amongst yourselves.
A bit louder. I'm trying to.
A quick game, okay. As people who listen to this regularly know, a quick game is a good game.
I'm trying to
look.
Okay.
No, two.
One, two.
Yeah.
Two.
I'll go five.
Five. Or can you do six?
No.
You don't want to have a go at it.
I want him to do five.
Okay, Andy. Five clubs.
I've gone to the last round on this.
You've done well.
I've gone further than I thought.
Yeah. Five clubs.
Now this is the bit where I work out if I've counted correctly on my fingers.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. This will be a win for all of us.
Fiorentina?
Correct.
Bayern Munich?
Correct.
Olympique de Marseille?
He's going backwards.
Yeah.
Showing up. I knew he would.
Yeah, yeah.
Three.
Galatasaray?
Four.
Metz?
Five.
Ah,
well played, Andy Brassel.
Andy.
It's a good win. So you could. He started his career at Boulogne.
Ah,
yeah.
That's the obvious one.
LA? Is it LA? That's the second club, LA. Brest, and then Metz, and then you named the rest of them, obviously.
Yeah.
So 3-2 to Andy Brassel. Well played.
Good game.
That was fun.
I think he's going to be unassailably good at this. But one thing I would say for people to listen out for is that if it ever comes down to it, I've played this game with Jules Breach, and she is deceptively very good at this.
Mm.
So she is one to watch as well. Dark horse.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll play another edition of the game very, very soon.
Interesting. Well, enjoyable stuff there. We've got to the end. I'll just leave with this quote. It would be a dream for the new manager, for whoever the new manager would be, to work in a club that great, because for me, it's a fantastic footballing city. Steve Bruce is still in charge, lest we
forget. He must have a first week back, first mention he's got. Disrespectful from this channel, that. Great to hear.
Get Ericsson in there.
Yeah, I get a feeling Steve Bruce and Newcastle United might be mentioned a bit more next week when they start playing actual football matches.
Oh, my giddy aunt, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. Enjoy the football.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.